I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with Midwifery Business Consultation. I have my two good friends I've known for many years now, Madeline Murray and Christine Strothers. They're both amazing CPMs. And we have been chatting on the sidelines separately. And I was like, I need an interview with all of us together because you guys both complement such wonderful aspects of the topic we're going to go over. But I'm going to wait to give the topic. You guys just introduce yourself and then I'll dive into what we want to talk about today.
My name is Madeline Murray, and I am a CPM, not currently practicing as I have three littles of my own, the youngest being only 9 months old, so they're keeping me busy. I have an organization called Believe in Midwifery, which is the main goal of which is to just create more midwives so that more women can have midwives and have beautiful births, therefore making the world a better place. But ultimately what it comes down to is the burnout rate in midwifery is too high. And my solution to that problem is time off call and group practice. And that comes with, you know, as far as this conversation is going to be concerned, is about boundaries and knowing what you need, and communication is really important when you're talking about groups and working together. So I have a course for sustainable midwifery called Believe in Midwifery's Guide to Sustainable Midwifery, which you can find at believeinmidwifery.com. And I'm on Instagram at Believe in Midwifery. Yeah, and that's my passion. That's what I like to talk about.
Perfect. Christine, thank you.
Hi, I'm Christine Struthers. I'm a CPM as well. My practice is called Pure Birth Midwifery. I am still actively practicing. And I also, though, am the director of a community birth midwifery school. So I have an in-person school. And I also am starting in January a distance program that I'm going to be doing. So that's kind of busy. And I also have a apprenticeship course that we're starting in March, which I'm super excited about because it talks about how to set up a great relationship between apprentices and preceptors and how to really make it work on a physical level as far as like getting through all the numbers and doing all the things, but also how to communicate and how to work in a really close relationship that has a little bit of a different, right? Has some different components from just like, oh, you know, two or three midwives are kind of on the same level and they go into practice together. Like this is the different relationship and it can transition beautifully into a group practice, but there's definitely some hurdles to go over first, right?
Yeah. And that dives into, with both of your directions, sustaining midwifery and the training model, the topic I wanted to do was how do we get that paradigm shift where there's lots and lots of preceptor clinical sites, there's lots of amazing relationships out there. You and I rarely hear great preceptor student relationships in the midwifery realm, on the CNM and CPM realm. And how do we change that? Because it's just going to be this vicious cycle. We're eating our young and we're dwindling our opportunities of more midwives because there's a very low success rate of actually completing school. And I think a good chunk of it is the clinical sites. I know, Madeline, you did on one of the conferences, it's actually recorded on YouTube, talking about your clinical experience, talking about that's when you hit your paradigm shift. So I would love for you both to talk about your experiences on both directions, being a student and a preceptor, what you've seen in good and bad in those relationships and what can we do about it? So I don't know if Madeline wants to go first and talk about her her side and her story that she had on that beautiful recording from the conference, her student experience.
Well, I think my student experience is pretty typical, which is that it was pretty horrible. I think you just feel a little bit used sometimes as you're not getting paid and expected to be everywhere all the time. Also, when you're a student of midwifery, you are kind of thrown into something that I described it, not in this video, but I have described it in the past as someone realizing, like a little kid realizing that Santa Claus isn't real. Like you, I went into midwifery, and a lot of people go into midwifery with this just dream world of being able to be with mothers and babies and birth, and, you know, and all the midwives they've ever met are so amazing. And they're so, they just think they're so wonderful. And then you get there and you're like, oh, wait a minute. These are human beings.
You see
beings.
Behind the curtain, you see at the Wizard of Oz, the curtain now of what
right.
it really
and not only are they human beings, but unfortunately, you know, an unspoken truth of the midwifery community is a lot of them are damaged human beings and traumatized human beings and overworked human beings and burnt out human beings. And it's really hard for people in that kind of, who are living in that paradigm, to provide good teaching, compassionate teaching. And so that's, you know, a huge part of what I teach, is that, you know, if midwives aren't going to be able to take care of themselves, then they're not going to be able to help the next generation of midwives. And it is just like you said, this vicious cycle of, you know, one after the other, burnout, 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 burnout. And so the hardest part for me as a student, because somehow I saw this different possibility, even though the only thing that actually was in front of me, the reality that I could see, was burnt out midwives. I knew that there was a possibility that it could be different, that this is not what women, the only way for it to work, and this is not what women need. But I was even told, when I even brought up the idea of the possibility of working together in a team, my preceptor at the time said, well, that's just not what midwifery is, yeah. You know, just shot me down immediately, basically saying that I wasn't cut out for this, and just made me feel really, I mean, it was really hurtful and discouraging. And if I didn't have the personality that I was born with and blessed with, I would have quit. I mean, I'm sure I would have. And I think that that's just all too commonly what happens, is you are thrown into the lion's den. And when you can't hang, you know, if you show any weakness, you're eaten alive.
I don't know if you'd call it weakness. I think it's just a different perspective of how midwifery can be run. And that's the wild card, is the two models. Like as CNMs, we just are going to big assembly line number places because that's the only place helping students. So then you're just lost through the cracks. You're not really valued. You're the number that's the student here hanging out that night. Like nobody even pays attention to you. You're just checking your numbers. But then you've got the other direction with the CPMs. Like you're usually with a 1, 2, maybe 3 mentors, preceptors. So you're living their life, their paradigm, their thoughts of midwifery. And it's not just training you skills, but their view of how a midwife should practice.
Right. Right. And that's what they said, you know, our job is not just to teach you the clinical skills and to whatever else, but to prepare you for what your life as a midwife is going to be. And so that's the crazy part, is there's not only one way to be a midwife. And I think for the way that the apprenticeship model is so common, especially in home birth midwifery, is that there is one student and one preceptor, and they kind of just become a carbon copy of one another. And so, you know, they do think that they're just training you to become the next them. And that's not what it is, or shouldn't be.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Christine. Add your perspective of where you're seeing it more on the preceptor side, and you're immense. You didn't even brag about like birth junkies and the three other things you're doing.
No.
So she's got herself in many different fires, and she's very passionate about the other end of this, the preceptor side and support.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So yeah, we have a group locally, and Madeline, this one, Madeline came and did a conference for us, which was just mind-blowing for me particularly, because I kind of always believed it, but then I kept running into, you know, people that would say kind of the things that you were saying, like, well, you know, when you're a home birth midwife, you're always on call 24/7. You can never, you know, and people almost like brag about like, oh yeah, I haven't been home for Thanksgiving in 6 years. And I had a midwife tell me one time she had not gone on a vacation in 12 years. 12 years. I'm like, That's insane.
I feel sorry for you. I'm gonna start crying. Not that I yeah. like. That's not something to brag about.
Well, I know, but it is. It's kind of like, who is the busiest and who, you know, has the most stressful caseload, and then what really just like blew my mind when Madeline said, like, it's an ego thing. You have to get over it and realize it's your clients don't need you. They need the midwifery model. And that's what's going to come through. And that's what's going to help them have a good experience. And I feel like I'm saying this every day to these preceptors that are like, well, she needs to come to all my appointments and she needs to do all this and all that. And I'm like, but what if she doesn't want to? Like, what if she doesn't want to live that life? And, you know, we have several.
And not even that she doesn't. Not even that she doesn't want to, like she may want to, like she would probably love to be at all those things, but she has this, that, and the other responsibility in her life as well, you know, that's also going into this, and that midwifery is not the only thing that people are.
Yeah, you're right. And two, you know, and Leslie and I have talked about this before too, is how many midwives have failed marriages? And
the divorce rate, their kids don't talk to them when they're older. It's like, we sacrifice everything. And then a lot of midwives don't want to retire because their identity is being a midwife. And then if they retire, they have nothing else. Like it's so we've absorbed ourselves into one singular identity in many of the generations before us. And how do we still give amazing midwifery care, but also have another identity outside of being a midwife?
Yeah. And I think it's trusting that you can, you know, you can give good service by working in a group and being there for each other. And we really, you know, it was funny because after Madeline came and did her workshop, there was a definite divide. And that there were those people over here who were like, well, she just doesn't know what she's talking about because she isn't in a solo practice. And then the rest of us were like, solo practice is bullshit. And never doing that. Like we need to help each other. And so that kind of evolved into what we have. And I'm actually doing some education stuff with this because of course, called the birth pool. So it's a group of midwives and a group of birth assistants that we've trained. And we, you know, we're not like, it's not a rotating call kind of thing, but it is very much like, here are the days you can call me if you need help with a birth, if you need backup for a birth, if you need some other kind of skill that, you know, maybe only a more experienced midwife has. And then here's the birth assistants that you can call, and they all, and you know, they can come as a birth assistant. Some of them can come as an apprentice, you know, if they're in like phase two or whatever. And it's been great. It's been so good. And, you know, I think the key is though, everybody has to accept that like everybody in this group is a great midwife and I trust them all to take care of my
clients in your own private practice. Yeah. It's similar to what Deidre DeGrado has in Kansas with they have the Wichita midwives. They all have their own private practices. It's, we call it like a community and co-op, but it's the same concept where, you know, we support each other. I am your primary midwife, but I do vacations. Like they give clear expectations from the first visit. I also am a mom. I also go to recitals. I also go on vacation. I want you, here's our team of midwives and we support each other in the backdrop. So it's that best of both worlds. But yeah, so on the student side, I think it's amazing. Then your students get a variety of preceptors and they're not held to like, okay, I've got to be available 24/7 because her birth volume is so low. We can get great experience on all directions, but get a good volume to put our foundation.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of the students are like, hey, I just want to go to births and, you know, absorb everything I can. But sometimes, like, if it's not my primary preceptor, I might just come as an assistant, you know, just to get the experience. And that way the number game is not freaking everybody out. And, you know, everybody has signed a contract, which I think is number one. It is, it is really, if you don't start with a contract, it's all going to go down the toilet. And that just,
it's written clear expectations to reference later versus he said, she said, and we may like all these people, but you haven't thought of every hypothetical situation and you should have that in writing. I mean, that's my business side coming out, but Yeah. So one of the things we wanted to discuss was just everything comes down to, and we've discussed it many, many times on the sidelines, the abundancy versus scarcity mindset on everything, on how many clients we potentially can have because only a few people are choosing home births. Students don't feel like they can ask for more things or have clear expectations because they're fearful they won't get a clinical site. And then the preceptors are fearful because they think they're growing their next competition. So I don't know which one of you wants to, I know Madeline had some wonderful things to say before I paused her. So.
All I was going to say is the scarcity mindset when you think about midwifery and people who worry about there being too many midwives or not enough clients is just, it's a ridiculous thought when you think about the fact that less than 2% of women in the entire country are having home births. And then even if you're talking about CNMs and hospital births, I mean, midwives, only 10% of women are having births with midwives in general. So like the amount of
women, normal, healthy women, 80% of the population, yes, could be seeing midwives.
That we could go out there and, you know, collect for our practices are, it's, I mean, it's incredible. Like there isn't any other industry out there that has, you know, the upside, this amount of growth possible, you know, it's like Bitcoin to the moon.
Yeah.
We could really go.
Yeah. And that's the glass half full and glass half empty mindset. When you chat with people, you learn instantly, like when Christine was giving the examples, I don't want to say they were glass half empty, but they're in a very, I don't want to change. I like the way it is. And that's okay. They can choose to do that, but then maybe they shouldn't be precepting or have a clear expectation of what their preceptor model is like versus you're growing this other glass half empty abundance mindset type of preceptor relationship.
Well, also, you know, there's that thing about the street, the main street or whatever, if it only has one restaurant on there, like, and the rest of the place is dead end, like nobody's going to go downtown. But if there's six restaurants, everybody's going to go downtown.
Different cultures, different flares, different cuisines. Yeah.
Right. And there's something for everyone at that point. And so how many times still to this day, do I tell someone I'm a midwife and they say, what is that? So like, of course, and then oftentimes they're like, oh, wow, that sounds really cool. I wish I would have known when I had my children. So like, you know, the more midwives that are out there, that's going to be more women having births with midwives and they're going to be telling their friends and whatever. I mean, truly the more midwives, the better for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And that's like, that's a baseline. I don't think a lot of people are even at, right? They're like, mine, like I have to get more and more clients. And then, you know, even the like, okay, well, this person is my apprentice. And so she can't speak to other midwives,
right,
can't speak to the midwife's clients,
yeah,
you know, and it makes you realize too, that a lot of the reason, this is going to sound super negative, but I feel like a lot of the reason people take on apprentices is for free labor.
Yep. Which goes back to what I said at the very beginning when I talked about my experience as a student. Yeah. I think that's how too many students feel. And that's why they get burnt out, because they just feel like it's a one-sided relationship. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I've heard it many times from the students are like, I should be on this level, but my preceptor won't let me advance. And like, mm-hmm. they're dragging on the training experience, even though she's got three times the number she needs for this level and saying she's not ready for this. And she's like, mm-hmm. I'm totally ready, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sad. And I think really the only solution is to help people be better preceptors, you know, and to kind of change.
Where it has to start.
Yeah, that's really where it has to start, because, you know, some of these people would be great apprentices if they just knew what to do, right?
Yeah, but if they had clear boundaries, like Leslie said.
Yeah, exactly. I think they want to do the right thing. You know, they want to get trained. They want to go into practice. They're not trying to steal people's clients or any of that garbage, but these preceptors are just coming in with so much baggage. And, I'm just like, I don't even know, I where to start with them. That's why I made this class and I was like, listen, this is for apprentices and preceptors to take together, because this is not all on the apprentices by
any means. And Christine gave me access to it and feedback, and I was really excited because we talked about learning styles. We talked like some students are going to learning the preceptor's teaching style and learning the student's learning style and how to come. If you're two different styles, that's okay. But how do we bridge together so you can understand? Because if someone wants to jump in and hands on, and this teacher wants you to read books for 2 weeks before you do it for the first time, like you're going to have different style compatibilities. But Christine's got an amazing preceptor student course to help you grow and to build that relationship and clear expectations. So it's professional and it's not the emotional side so much. So Madeline, with your Believe in Midwifery, I know you had talked, like, even I want to give the positive, like our whole point is not just to be the same where we're complaining, we're seeing the challenges, but what do you see as tangible other things as well we can do to help improve that preceptor mentor relationship?
Well, first, I just want to say that I do think it's okay to say the negative parts, because I think there are so many negative parts. And I think that the negative parts are so often just this underlying thing. And, you know, the first step to solving any problem is admitting that you have a problem. And so I think it's okay to mention those things and still
100%. I just don't want us to chat for 45 minutes about all the challenges and everybody's like, where's part two?
but to be able to mention them and still also at the same time, recognize the good that all of these midwives are doing in the world at the same time. Because we are good and what we do is good for women, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to get better. So I'm sorry, your question was
question was from Believe in Midwifery and your perspective, what you gave. I mean, I got to listen to your wonderful talk, but what were specific examples for the students to advocate to get a better experience? Because I know that's more of your strength side and Christine's more the preceptor side.
Well, I mean, ultimately, I think it just does come down to conversation and not being emotional and, you know, recognizing, I mean, students also, if they're going to do what Christine teaches at the same time, need to know their own learning style and what they want and what they're looking for. And if they're going into a preceptorship where that preceptor wants them to be at all of the appointments all the time and on call all the time and whatever, and that this student knows that that's not going to work for her, then she shouldn't go into that preceptorship. So I think ultimately, and there's a lot of this in the course, it comes down to knowing who you are, knowing what you need, knowing what you want. I talk about, you know, the internal compass and, you know, listening to your instincts. And I think just in general in the society today, I think that that's blunted in a really big way for all people. But especially for people who are in the caring professions, people who want to help others, people who are led towards midwifery all tend to already be on this, you know, don't like to say no, the helpers and people who will sacrifice themselves for others and things like that. And it's really important to stand up for yourself. But the only way that you can do that is if you actually know who you are. And so a lot of what I teach in my course is, what are your personal values? You know, why, what is your why? Why do you want to get into this in the first place? What do you want to accomplish? Like, what does sustainable midwifery mean to you? Because it's different for all people. You know, I mean, I like to talk about group practices in a specific sort of way for, you know, the way that I did it. But also there's the ways like you're talking about in Kansas, and there are the ways like the birth pool is doing it. So, I mean, anytime I do consults with midwives and they ask me, you know, questions about group practice, and I'm like, well, there's as many ways to do this as there are midwives. And so there isn't a one size fits all approach. And that's another way where it's tricky. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of self-awareness that has to happen before we can take any steps towards sustainability.
One thing I want to add before I let Christine add her comments is, you hit it home, like when we get our ideal clients and we learn who we are, you're going to be a better midwife, not just in the student role. So many midwives don't even know, they just want to accept everybody because it's that scarcity mindset. And right. Well, I just need this client because I need X amount of people this month and not many people signed up, versus they're doing good marketing campaigns and they really know their clients and it's a ripple effect. They're wondering why they're getting more calls. They're wondering why they're getting more complaints. They're wondering why they have more liability concerns and they're just not happy because it's that ripple effect. They didn't learn what type of midwife they wanted to be. They're trying to be the midwife they think they should be to be busy and successful and whatever definition that's supposed to be. So you hit home, if you can teach them as students right from the beginning, as soon as they're finding clinical sites, you know who you are, you know how you want to practice. And me being the business person, like business planning and community analysis and finding your ideal client, like you can have as many of your beautiful, perfect people if you have the right marketing campaigns. It's not that there's only 2% out there. There's the other 78% that we can pull from if you have the right tools in place. So Christine, if you want to.
Yeah, no, I think kind of extending what Madeline was talking about too, to really look at our relationships with other midwives, and especially in our community, right? And are we looking at this as competition, right? Like, oh, I want to get all these type of clients or whatever. Or are you looking at it as like, boy, I trust these women. I trust them. I want to cooperate with them. Like, we give better services and we're happier. Everybody's happier if we can be in a good, positive relationship. And, you know, coming from a nursing background, Leslie, I know you feel this too. We all know nurses eat their young, and I don't think midwives are any different. But I think we have to break that cycle and really be like, no, we have to be here for each other because everyone else has given us terrible problems. You know, like, who are we going to depend on, right? The medical board? Come on. You know, we have to take care of each other. And that, I think, just, it opens up a lot. And right. And then you can go do things like, you know, really put information out there about home birth and midwifery in general. And maybe not even just promoting yourself or your practice, but being like, midwives are amazing. All the midwives that I know are amazing. Like, if you can really say that, like, that's kind of liberating. And that is really helping women in a way that, you know, me doesn't help.
Yeah. Cause right? Ultimately what we forget is that, you know, the whole point is that we're supposed to be helping women and empowering women and letting women be autonomous and make choices about their own birth. And when you act as if you're the only one who can do whatever for this woman, then that gets into the woman's head too. Like, that she thinks that that's the only way that midwifery is supposed to be, instead of if she has the opportunity to learn from or talk to a number of different midwives, then she's like, oh, so I don't have to do it that way. I can do it this way. And that feels better to me, you know? Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is that just when Christine was talking about the divide after I came and spoke, that, you know, any way that we're going to make this work is that if we really like believe in the power of community and working together, like if the community is bigger than us as individuals, and if we know that the more midwives is going to be better for more women in the long run and midwifery in general in the long run, then we're going to work together more than if we just think this is all about me and my clients.
And I think that translates into apprenticeship too, because, you know, if the midwives are saying, oh, we have these great students, they're wonderful, they're smart, they're going to be amazing midwives, and they're going to be helping us. They're part of our team. And Vicki Penwalt has spoken so eloquently about that. And that really made an impression on me, and how you present students mm-hmm. to clients, right? Because, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes when I was like, well, you know, you can say no, you don't want a student, you know, I get it. And what kind of setup is that? Who wants to be, oh, I'm a student, please. Please let me.
We love our you, students. Yeah. We need to train more. I'm busy as can be. You don't want your friends to be on my waiting list. Like, it's all how you approach it 100%.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I guess I would love to just have for both of you a summary of any tangible tips you want to give to either. You can choose what are the other preceptors, students, like what can they start doing tomorrow? What can they do to start improving this? They're not going to go from this version to this version overnight, but how can they start making baby steps? What are things they can do? You guys both have as pearls of wisdom. Madeline, go first.
I guess, you know, we have to just say stop complaining and start doing. And that means have the hard conversation. If there's something that your preceptor is doing that you don't like, then you need to talk to them about it. If there's something that your student is doing that you don't like, then you need to talk to them about it. When I talk to midwives who are starting group practices, I always talk about having a specific scheduled time to discuss grievances. So I think that that's one really important thing that all people could put into place is, you know, maybe just a lunch meeting or even just coffee one time a month where it's on the calendar so that you know if there's something that's coming up that you have to talk about. And obviously you don't have to have a problem, but it's just sort of takes the edge off if you know that there's going to be a time dedicated to discussing it. And I think that you need to have those planned regularly, you know, once a month or once a quarter or whatever. And that would be for preceptors and students. Preceptors and students and midwives working together or students working together or whatever, any of these
relationships. It becomes the norm versus now we're only getting together when there's a problem and then it escalates. Right. Usually you can solve little kindling problems versus now or we're just trying to meet when it's a full flare burn. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And I would definitely add to that, like kind of add on to that, that it's important for preceptors to have mentors, right? So when people are first starting out being a preceptor or they have not been real successful with it in the past, like to kind of, you know, swallow your ego a little bit and be like, hey, you know, and I think midwives should do that about anything, right? Like, you know, there's someone, you know, I remember calling a very experienced midwife and being like, hey, I remember at peer review, you said you had someone with this problem. Like, tell me what happens. Like, tell me what I should do. And that's such an important resource for us. You know, it's midwifery can be super, super lonely, even though we're with people all the time. There's not a big peer group. And I think we would do better if we had great peer support as midwives and as students and as preceptors and everything to really, really support each other.
I think there's a big fear in midwifery in general to like ask stupid questions. Like you're supposed to know everything and you want your clients to see you as, you know, someone who is knowledgeable on all things. Mm-hmm. And so you also want your peers to think of you that way. You don't want your peers because of the scarcity mindset and everything else. If you think that someone thinks that you don't know what you're doing in any area, right, then they're going to be afraid to let their clients come to you or whatever. And so I do think that being able to ask questions and ask for advice and have mentors is a big deal. I mean, when you were just talking, Christine, I was just thinking about myself as a mother. You know, I've been a mother now for 4.5 years. And so I know a thing or two. And so, you know, people who have babies can call me and ask me questions. But, you know, I don't know what to do when my almost 5-year-old starts doing whatever he's doing. And so I have moms who have been moms for longer than me, who have older children that have gone through these things that I call and ask. And, you know, precepting is not the same as midwifery. So you can be an amazing midwife and then all of a sudden try to be training students and feel completely unprepared. And so it's totally okay to learn and to ask questions and to do something wrong. And then I'll also add to that, relating back to motherhood, if you make a mistake, you can change it. You can apologize. You can go back and you can do it differently the next time. And if you have open, honest communication with your student, then you can say, you know what? I didn't handle that well. I wish I would have done it differently. I'm going to do it differently in the next time that situation arises or whatever. So yeah, I mean, a lot of it does come down to ego and letting that go so that we can all work towards the greater movement here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Perfect. Well, I think that is a great one to end on. I love you both greatly. You guys are amazing resources to midwives, and we need more of just the inspiration and seeing it. Like, I consider us kind of midwifing the midwives. Like, you need to have someone looking at the systems as a whole on the outside, because otherwise they're just so busy doing their day-to-day thing. And you, all of us, and that's where I gravitate so much to you guys, is we all have very big visions of making better access to midwifery, and we all did it from our own unique perspectives and passions and expertise. So thank you, ladies, for all the wonderful work you're doing.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, okay. Leslie. Appreciate it. Thanks, Madeline.
Yeah, you too.